I do hope everyone had a good afternoon, and that we know it is a great blessing to be here once again as God's people before Him. This is a privilege that God has allowed us to have, and we're thankful that you're here. And any visitors among us, which I don't see any, but if I miss you, we're grateful you're here. And we want you to know we take it as a blessing you decided to be here. Oh, and before you get in the lesson, remember, Thursday, 7 p.m., summer series. Right? Some great lessons, and you're missing out. Right? If you're not a part of that, you're absolutely missing out on some good teaching and some good time together as a church family for that teaching. Now, I want to begin here with a thought. And this is, I've kind of tied this into the last several weeks of lessons. We've talked about Satan, talked about demons, we've talked about the lies of Satan. Last Sunday evening, we talked about how to defeat Satan. So, and I was in James the last two Sunday nights, and I was kind of on the verge of maybe doing a James a sermon series, but I'm not going to do that just yet. I just wanted to keep with that at least another week here. And I want us to talk about 1 John chapter 2, verses 15 through 17 again, but a different angle. And so I want us to think about here, about this relationship that he talks about. But first, let me start with a question, or more of a statement. Breaking up is hard to do, right? Right? If you remember, maybe back in your teenage years, you had that girlfriend, that boyfriend, and you had to break up. It's not easy, right? Anytime you have to break up, to steal a line from the book of Daniel, right? The handwriting was on the wall. You should have broken up a very long time ago, but you kind of kept that relationship going when you shouldn't have, right? So the point is, breaking up is hard to do. Now, the relationship that we're talking about this evening from 1 John chapter 2, listen, this is a relationship that God is begging us to break off. Now, the devil is going to tell you it's not that big of a deal, and you don't need to break up, and don't worry about it. But of course, the devil's selling you a package of lies. You need to absolutely break up in this relationship. And the relationship that I'm talking about is a relationship with the world. Right? If you have a relationship with the world, you're being urged to absolutely break off this destructive relationship. And so we've read this passage many times the last several weeks. Let's read it again. 1 John chapter 2, beginning of verse 15, says, "Do not love the world or the things of the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world is the lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. And is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world is passing away in the lust of it," John writes, "but he who does the will of the Father abides forever." So in the time that we have this evening, I want to look at three main points from this text right here. And really think about, if we're still in a relationship with the world, we've got to break that off. Right? And Satan wants us to think that, it's okay to have one foot in the world and one foot in the church, and somehow you're special, you can work it out, you'll figure it out. You don't have to break up with the world. So let's keep that in mind as we think about this first main point here, that we're being told loving the world, number one, means not loving the Father. And that's just really hard for us to believe sometimes. Right? When John wrote to the church at Laodicea in Revelation chapter 3, in verse 14, right, he tells them, you're neither hot nor cold. Right? In other words, you got one foot in the world and one foot in the church. You're trying to stand on religious holy ground and unholy ground at the same time. You can't do it. And God says, you're trying to do that, and I'm going to vomit you out of my mouth. Right, very vivid language there. You're trying to pull this off, and you're not going to. There's no such thing. Right, even though Satan will lie and tell you can do it, he's trying to convince you that you can do it. Right, that it's okay to love the things of the world and love God at the same time. It's lies. Right, I have to acknowledge that. I have to understand that. And so here in our study text, now let me point this out here real quick. You know, whenever you're reading something, even outside of the Bible, right, and the writer, whether inspired or not, keeps repeating a word or a phrase, what they're trying to get you to do is to focus in on a particular thing. Right? We see that here with John. Right? He's going to emphasize a critical thought here. And I want you to notice verse 15, the word world is used three times, and then it's used three more times in the following three verses. And the word love is used three times. The word father or God is used three times just in these three verses here. In other words, if we were going to, you know, ask about this text here, if we're able to, you know, go to John and say, John, what is this about? What it's teaching us is love of the Father contrasted with love of the world. You know, you've got to decide, you have to choose. Are you going to love the world or are you going to love the Father? Right? You can't do both. Right? That's the emphasis here. And so the three things that he's emphasizing over and over again is world, love, Father. Right? And so you got a choice. You know, have you broken up with the world? Right? Have you finally committed yourself to the Father? And don't believe the lie that you can somehow do both. Right? So do not love the world or the things of the world. If anyone, notice no exceptions, right? And this includes you and me. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Now, Matthew the 6th chapter, if you would. Go back to Matthew chapter 6. Right? Remember the setting, Sermon on the Mount. Jesus so far has preached about a new way of thinking for those who are going to follow him. His sermon here so far has got us to the point where he clearly states in verse 24, you cannot serve two masters. Can't do it. But how did we get there? How did we get to verse 24? Well, I want you to back up to verse 19, our scripture reading earlier. And you remember these verses here? In chapter 6 of Matthew, in verse 19, the Sermon on the Mount. I want you to read this with me here. Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, and thieves break in to steal. Right? 20 and 21, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. You see what he's saying here? He's saying, do you love the world? Do you love everything that you can build up in this life? Right? You see, that's the lust of the eyes. You know, I can get more and more and more and more. Do you love that? Well, how long is it going to last? Well, we know that when Jesus comes, it's not going to last at all. But he's saying, listen, it's not even going to last that long. Right? The things of the world, they're continually wearing out. Right? So what should we do? Well, we need to live for the things that are eternal, right? Our hearts should be set on things above that are eternal, not the temporal, right? And again, we can't have both. Right? Now notice Jesus gives us the layout of that which we should love. You got your Bible open, I want you to notice how he says it here in verses 22 and 23, right? The lamp of the body is the eye, right? The eye is the window of the soul, right? It's a way to the mind, to the heart. The lamp of the body is the eye. If therefore your eye is good, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in you is darkness, how great is that darkness? In other words, he's talking about how we view stuff. Right? This is a discussion about material possessions and things and money and stuff. Right? How do you view things? Right? Do you view those things as just stuff to accumulate? You know, well, your eye is bad, you're going to be full of darkness. But if you say, hey, this is a blessing, I'm a steward of, I'm going to use it to help point other people to God, then you got the light, right? You're seeing things properly. And so Jesus here, right, great Sermon on the Mount, and he asks us, he tells us, he teaches us, you know, are you laying up treasures on earth? Okay, if you are, understand this, it's your choice. He tells us they're only going to rot or be stolen from you. So why wouldn't you lay up treasures in heaven instead? Right? Does your life have darkness in it? Is it great darkness? Right? In other words, you can't share light with darkness. You're either light or dark. Right? And how you view stuff, possessions, things. Right? That's when we get to verse 24. Right? No one, again, no exceptions, no one. You are not the exception. You haven't somehow figured it out where everyone else hasn't. No one can serve two masters, for he will either hate the one or love the other, or else he will be loyal to the one or despise the other. You cannot serve God and, fill in the blank. Now Jesus fills in the blank with mammon, right? Material possessions, stuff, things. Right? Do we understand this? What are you saying here? You can't serve God in money. You can't serve God in material things. You can't serve God in worldly things. You can't serve God in darkness. You can't do it. Right? Do we all believe this day that when we have a love for the world, that means we do not love the Father? That's about as straightforward of a teaching as you're going to get. Right? And that's not my interpretation of it, right? That's what Jesus is saying here in the Sermon on the Mount. That's what John is saying in 1 John 2. That's exactly what they're teaching. Now, matter of fact, go back to 1 John, but I want you to go to 1 John chapter 1. And I want you to note this here. Now, when he says what he says in chapter 2, verses 15 through 17, that's not the first time he's introduced this idea here. And so remember, this is John, this is the disciple whom Jesus loved, right? John walked with Jesus, heard him preach, saw him resurrected, right? And as you're writing this, really it's an epistle of love. He's saying, let me tell you how much I love the Father, how much I love Jesus. You know, I want you to have that kind of love also. You know, you can hardly get through the first paragraph here in chapter 1 without him continually coming back to point this out, right? Our love must be loyal. And I want you to notice just in the first several verses how he's begging you and I, the reader, right, to fall in love with Jesus, basically. But then immediately he said, I got to give you a warning, right? You've got to look out for the world. You've got to look out for darkness. You've got to look out for sin. Right, and I want you to imagine again that this is a man that walked with Jesus. And so in verse 1, 1 John chapter 1, that which was from the beginning, remember he's talking about Jesus, just like John chapter 1, the Gospel account of John chapter 1, with that reminder, Jesus is a word, he's creator. In a very similar way here. And he says, which we have heard. See what John's saying? John is saying, I want to tell you about Jesus. You know, I heard him personally. Right? That which we heard from the beginning, that which we heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled concerning the word of life. Right? This is concerning Jesus Christ. Read verse 2 with me. The life was manifest or shown. Remember John 1 and verse 14? He came and he tabernacled with us. He dwelt among men. And we have seen and we bear witness and declare to you that eternal life which was with the Father. Right? And he explains a little bit further. And he left the Father. Right? He was manifested with us. He came to earth. Verse 3, that which we have seen and heard we declare to you, that you also may have fellowship with us. Now notice, he wants you to have fellowship with him. Keep reading. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And these things, verse 4, we write to you that your joy may be full. Right? I would have loved to hear John say this, right? Because he's saying this from personal experience. Right? And he's saying, let me tell you about the one who was there from the very beginning with the Father, the creator of the heavens and the earth. Right? And when he came to this earth, we got to hear him. We got to see him personally. And after he's resurrected, he said, feel the prints of the nail to my hand and put your hand here in my side. Right? Remember where the spear went in? Right? He's the one that gives eternal life, is what he's saying here. And he said, you know, we want you to have the same fellowship with him that we have. Now pause and think about what we're talking about here from chapter 2, right? You want to break up with the world? Well, the only way to break up with the world is to have a real, lasting relationship with the Father, with his Son, and with the Holy Spirit. Right? Now, I want you to think about here, John is literally trying to sell us on, if you will, having a spiritual relationship with the Lord. Right? And John is saying, we had that relationship and you can have it also. Right? And it's meant to encourage us Now, let me read 5 and 6. We're going to go on to our second point. This is a message which we have heard from him, now in chapter 1, and declare to you that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. And what you see throughout the book is these contrasts. If we say we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. So why go there? Isn't it interesting that the very first few verses here is, you know, let me tell you about this relationship we have with Jesus. Let me tell you about this relationship we want you to have with Jesus. So why go there, you know, in these next verses? Well, because it's that important, right? If you want a relationship with the Lord, you got to decide. Right? You got to make that decision. Right? Are you going to break up with the world? Because you can't have both. And I think that's one of the main struggles that Christians have. And that's why a lot of people don't obey the gospel, right? That's a lot to give up, they think. And so we're in this constant battle of giving up the things of the world to have a relationship with the Father. And that tug is so strong. And so we struggle, right? And remember, you can't have both. You can't keep one foot in the world, one foot in the church. Right? You can't just say, well, I'm going to walk in a little bit of darkness. That doesn't make sense. Right? You know, just like if, you know, a room like this, right, with no barriers, you can't have darkness on one side and light on the other. You can't do that. Why? Well, because light dispels darkness. You just can't do it. And, you know, it's impossible spiritually. Right? Jesus says so in the Sermon on the Mount. John says so here. We cannot do it. Listen, you are not the exception. And he's trying to get us to see through the lies of Satan that we cannot have two masters. Right? If you love the world, the love of the Father is not in you. And so you got to decide, who am I going to believe? All right, number two this evening, I need to realize here in this text, love of the world is absolute, certain, for sure loss. Look again at verses 16 and 17. Well, especially verse 17, right? The phrase there, and the world is passing away and the lust of it. Right? There's nothing lasting. There's nothing of real, substantial value about the world. There's nothing. Right? It's all passing away. You know, what if I sold you a share in a company for $100 for one share? But I can guarantee you a year from now to be worth a dollar. It's not a total loss. How about this? What if I sold you a car, used car, you know, and I promise you it would get you to where you want to go 5 out of 10 times. It's not a total loss, right? You still have a dollar out of your $100 investment a year later. You can at least get to where you wanted to go half the time. It's not a total loss. And see, what I need to understand when I consider these things is if I put everything, all my eggs in one basket, if you will, and put that basket in the world, listen, total loss. Absolute total loss. Nothing good, lasting, or eternal, permanent will come out of that type of investment. In Matthew 16, verse 26, we read, "For what profit?" Right? You think about the word profit, you think about gain and loss. What profit is it if a man gains the whole world? Right? And then here in our text in 1 John, right? So what would be part of the gain of desires, right? The flesh, right? What if you could have anything your flesh desired? Right? And anything that you could long to be addicted to, you could have it all. Well, your eyes, what about the greediness? You could get every possession you ever wanted to own. Pride, your pride here, you can have all kinds of pride. Right? And the idea, you know, I know better than God, or I know a few things that God doesn't know. Remember Satan tried that on Eve in the garden? Right? You can have all the pride in the world, all the desires of the flesh. Well, what if you gain the whole world, Matthew 16 and verse 26, but lose your soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul? Listen, we can gain a lot out of the world, but the problem is it always becomes loss, and it's always temporary. Now, go back to 2 Peter chapter 3, so just a, probably a couple pages there in your Bible back. Verses 10 and 11. Look at what's going to happen to everything that we own. Right? And as we read this, I want you to think about that nice piece of jewelry that you have, your most expensive piece of jewelry, maybe a watch or a ring. I want you to think about if you got a safe at home, everything in it. Maybe you got a stack of cash in there, some precious metals. Think about that house that safe is in, and think about those cars parked there. Think about all your clothes. Think about your bank account and investments. Right? Think about all that stuff that you have. I want you to think about that as we read our text here. Right? Think about every possession you own. Let's read about when Jesus comes back. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens will pass away with a great noise, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Both the earth and all the works that are in it will be burned up. Right? So picture this event here. Right? We're getting this mental imagery here of the day of judgment when Jesus returns. Right, it's painting a picture for us, right? Jesus, we're going to hear that the trumpet of the Lord, right? A great noise that we've never heard before, and those who belong to Christ, right? We're going to meet the Lord in the air in the clouds. Can you picture that? Now, all that stuff we just talked about, what's going to happen to that? Gone, burned up, destroyed. All of those things that we put so much importance in, burned up, gone. Right? You're not going to look over your shoulder back and say, "Oh, I wish I had that watch. Oh, I wish I had that stack of cash in my safe." Right? It's going to be meaningless. What do we see? What has he done? He's destroyed everything. Everything gone, melted with fervent heat. And at that moment, let's tie this into this morning's lesson. Where do you want your heart, your mind, your soul? Right, you're going to be more concerned about, did I love God with all of my heart, with all of my soul, with all of my might? That's what's going to matter. You know, do you want your life invested in things of the world? Oh, I love the world. I just can't leave it behind. She's such a great mistress. You're not going to be thinking any of that. Right, and if that was your focus, listen, total loss. Absolute total loss. Look at verse 11 here in 2 Peter 3. Notice what begins with the word therefore. So because if we really understand verse 10, it's going to change the way that we live. Therefore, since all these things will be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be in holy conduct and godliness? Right? Now Peter's basically saying in verse 11, now doesn't that change things? Right? If you realize that all of these things that you have are supposed to be used as tools, right? Tools for the use of God's glory, right? Use your car for the glory of God. Use the money you have for the glory of God, right? Whatever it is, because then when you use them, what Jesus was talking about in Matthew 6, now you're laying up treasures in heaven, where it really matters. You're storing up treasures in heaven, and anything that you keep for selfish ambition, you know, that's where your heart is, and it has nothing of eternal value. Right? And it should change us, right, here in verse 11, to say, you know, I want my life to be holy like God wants, and I want my life to have that godliness that Peter speaks of here. Now, one illustration here, and then we're going to move on to our third and final point. I'm sure we've all seen it. Probably with our eyes, but maybe just in the movies, right? Think about a mirage. Right? Maybe you've been in the desert, you've seen a mirage. Or watch an old Western, you know, they're dying of thirst. Looks like there's water up there. You know, you've probably seen it on a straight road in the middle of the summer when it's dry. And looks like there's water up there, right? What is that? Well, it's basically a figment of our imagination. It's not there. Right, so it's kind of like that. If you're going to love the world, and yeah, you can live by lust of the eyes, lust of the flesh, pride of life, right? Satan's operating tools. You can do that. You can accumulate all kinds of stuff. But when you get there, there's nothing. There's not going to be anything there. Right? It's just a figment of your imagination, really. But in contrast, you know, if we've loved the Lord, we sought him. When we get there, we're going to find more than we thought was even possible, right? The abundant life that Jesus talks about in John 10 and verse 10. We have life and we have it abundantly. But when we keep a relationship with the world, we're asking for absolute total loss. All right, number three this evening. Look at verse 17. Listen, love in the world prevents obedience. All right, the world's passing away and the lust of it, but he who does the will of God abides forever. It's impossible for us to love the world and do the will of the Father. It's impossible. Right now, again, Satan, he's going to tell you that you can do it. Well, yeah, most of those other folks, they didn't figure it out, but I bet you can. Right, so we have to decide here, right, are we going to do the will of the Father? And asking, you know, what is the will of the Father? Well, here in just this text, we've seen again and again instructions. The will of the Father is for you and I to break off the relationship of the world. That's the will of the Father right here. Right? The will of the Father is to break off that relationship and establish a relationship with him. That's the will of the Father. The will of the Father is for you to turn your back on the world. Right? And put heart, soul, mind into that. Right, doing that through his word. I want us to think about one example here. Well, a bad example. I want us to think about Demas. And then we're going to have our conclusion. You know, he's not a great example, but it illustrates this very well. It's a sad example in Scripture. Right? You see, when you read back in Colossians chapter 4, right, when Paul is closing out the book of Colossians, you know, and he writes to a lot of people, and he's greeting them, and he talks about Demas, even talks about Luke. And Demas is mentioned in a good way, in a great text there. Even if you look at verse 14, I believe, talk about his faithfulness. But when we get to 2 Timothy chapter 4, right before Paul dies, let's read about what he has to say now. 2 Timothy 4, 9 and 10. Be diligent to come to me quickly, for Demas has forsaken me, having loved this present world, has departed for Thessalonica. So what happened to him? Right? When we read this, you know, we think, you know, I want more details, but the reality is we don't have to have more details. The reason we don't have to have more details is he's told us very specifically here what happened. He's departed. Why is he departed? Well, the answer's right here. He loved this present world. Right? What does that mean? Well, we already know what it means. Right? We know from 1 John 2 and verse 15, right? He loved the world, so he stopped loving the Father. Right? He loved the world, so he chose loss over victory. He loved the world, so he stopped being obedient to the will of the Father. Right? And what happens when we do that, not only do we leave the Lord, but we leave the Lord's workers, and we leave the Lord's work. So Paul now, he's saying, I need someone to come and take the place of Demas. Why? Where's Demas? Well, he's forsaken me. Why did he forsake you? We know, right? He left. He's gone. Right? That which is in the world had a greater pull on his heart than that which is in the Lord's church. So we know what happened to him. So what would cause someone to not do their part and to love the world and leave? Well, I think the root of the problem is they never knew the will of the Father. And if you don't know the will of the Father, you're going to continually love the world, and it's going to pull you back. Right? It's going to absolutely pull you back, and then next thing you know, we're so-and-so. Well, then we're back to the world. So as we finish up here this evening, let's ask a personal question here. Right, that only you and the Lord have the answer to. Right? Do you still love the world? Have you broken up with the world? Do you really love the world? And what we've learned here in this text this evening is you do not have the capacity to love the world and love God at the same time. You just don't. None of us do. Right? And we've learned that a relationship with the world will cost us everything. And we've learned here, and I want you to think carefully about this, that Jesus Christ is coming back, but he's coming back for those who've broken off their relationship with the world and established a relationship with the Father through him. Now, when we read Paul's words there in 2 Timothy, let's finish with this. Just right before he talked about Demas, he has a statement there in verse 6, right? I'm already being poured out as drink offering, and the time of my departure is at hand. Then he talks about this crown of victory that he's going to receive. Read 7 and 8, I've fought the good fight, I've kept the faith, I've finished the race. Right, finally, there's laid up for me a crown of righteousness, with the Lord, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me, not only to me, but also to those who have loved his appearing. And isn't it interesting that in verse 8, it talks about loving the appearance of Jesus. Then in verse 10, Demas has forsaken the Lord because he's loved the things of this world. Right, and that's really a description of everyone here this evening. Right, your life falls under the category of either I love this present world, or it falls under the category of I love the appearing of Jesus Christ. It's one or the other. Right, the world with Satan, right, selling us nothing but a package of lies that leads to certain loss. Right, only Jesus gives truth. Only Jesus offers life, and he offers it abundantly. So now we got to make a choice, right? What are we going to decide, right? And we're going to hopefully hear. We're going to be ready when we hear that noise when the Lord returns. That we're going to be found faithful, right? Because we broke off that relationship with the world and we've loved the appearance of Jesus. This evening, if you are subject to the gospel invitation, you have an opportunity to respond. If you need to put on Christ in baptism, let's take care of that. If you've done that and you went back in the world because you admit you've loved the things of the world and it's pulled you away and you went back into a lifestyle of sin and you've separated yourself from God, you start over. Or maybe you're just right there and you feel the tug of the world, you know that tug is strong and you need help. Right, we'd love to pray for you, pray with you. Just say, I need help. Right, we all need that prayer, but we'll help you if you want to bring that before the church. So any need whatsoever that you have spiritually, let somebody know as we stand, as we sing.